Timmy's good for that. He's a good cook. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn. We'll stand. Just prior to our final hymn. Thank you for reminding me. That's really important now that we have two new missionary families. Well, Lord, we thank you so much for the joy in the church this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that because of the new missionaries we're supporting now, there is a real gladness of heart. And, Lord, giving brings such joy. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in our tithing and offerings. Oh, Lord God, that the work may continue here and that we will be able to take on many, many more missionaries from around the world, that the gospel would continue to be preached and souls would continue to be saved all around this world before Jesus comes. And we, Lord, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Mom.
All right, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time and open up to 62. We love this hymn, 62, Sir Isaac Watts wrote. So many good ones. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth of hymn 62. Love the words.
Amen, amen. Please be seated, church. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Glory to God. Let's recognize our moms at this time. If you are a mom, please stand. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. You don't qualify, bud. Oh, we have a crazy church. Amen. Praise the Lord for our moms. What a blessing. I miss my mom. I was telling the church a couple of weeks ago, I think I was preaching at the time, or it might have been a testimony about when my mom died in 08, I was a mama's boy. Oh, I was a wicked mama's boy. And when my mom died in 08, she's in heaven now, for about 3 months, my wife will tell you, every time I got to the pulpit and opened the Bible, I'd start to weep.
Yeah.
And there were Holy Ghost tears, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, wow, it was just, it took like 3 or 4 months for that to stop. And it was just some of the best preaching I ever did was, man, you know, praise the Lord. But I just missed my mom so much. But Mother's Day, we only have one mom. Amen. And we need to honor, the Bible says, honor our mothers. And what a great day to do that today. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles. At this time, we'll open up to the book of Genesis. Book of Beginnings. Genesis chapter 16 this morning. And this morning, folks, I want to speak to you about a particular mother in the Bible. And unfortunately, like Mary, Mary's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love Mary. Mary was a godly, virtuous young lady. She was a virgin. Amen. Praise the Lord for Mary. Mary gets a bad rap because of the actions of people in the world. So does this gal get a bad rap because of her progeny. But it's not her fault. Amen. In fact, the woman I'm going to speak to you about this morning was a true believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as you're going to see clearly from our text in Genesis chapter 16 this morning. Now, nearly 2,000 years B.C. is the time period we're looking at here. It's a long time ago, 4,000 years. It's been 24 years since God told Abraham that he would have a son and name him Isaac. Abraham is now 99 years old, still no baby for Sarah. Sarah is over 90, and she's getting impatient. Her faith is running a little low. She begins to think, well, maybe God meant that Abraham would have a baby through my handmaiden, Hagar. And so she sends Hagar to Abraham and says, make us a baby, you know. And look with me here in Genesis chapter 16 at verse number 1. I want you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I want to speak to you a message this morning I've entitled, Hagar at the Fountain. Hagar at the Fountain. Look with me at verse number 1. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thine affliction. And he shall be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. I want to speak to your church this morning on Hagar at the fountain. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this passage of scripture. Lord, how we thank you for this mother named Hagar in the Bible. Lord, we thank you that she came to know the God of Israel, the true and living God of the Bible, because of her affiliation with Abram and Sarai, his wife. Lord, I thank you that they won her to the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that despite her wicked son and his wicked offspring, O God, she feared the Lord. She knew the Lord. She was a good mother. And Lord, let us not diminish from her godliness and from her walk with thee because of her seed. Lord, we pray that you would show us what meaneth these things from the word of God today, that we may see this good mother in the Bible, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. And beloved, as we read through this passage this morning, I can't help but notice that when Hagar found herself cast out and all alone in the wilderness, God saw her need. Amen. When no one else in the world cared if she lived or died, God cared. Amen. And many people are troubled by this text this morning because it is so clearly revealing the doctrine of God's omniscience and omnipresence. She said, God, thou God seest me. Glory to God. That is that God knows all things. He's omniscient. And that God beholds all things at all times. He's omnipresent. So let's examine this morning and learn from Hagar at the fountain a few things. First, let's notice her remarkable experience. Look with me in verse number 6. Her remarkable experience. In verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she scolded her. She fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Now, Hagar is about to experience a divine encounter with the living God. Amen? Just like you and I have. Glory to God. Now, listen. She's about to meet the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here, three things demand our attention concerning her remarkable experience. First, notice that she had separated herself from God's people. Verse 6, But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. The first thing I notice concerning her remarkable experience is that she was completely separated from God's people. Completely separated. Did you know that Satan is an isolator? Satan wants to keep you out of church. Satan wants to keep you out of the Bible. Satan wants to keep you off of your knees. And Satan wants to keep you for himself. You know that? Satan had her just where he wanted her, alone in the wilderness. Now, folks, listen. Sarah did not kick her out. Look at the verse 6. It says, when she dealt hardly with her, she had a right to. She was her bondservant. She could treat her any way she wanted. She owned her. Now, you got to understand, in biblical times, this was biblical. Verse 6, she fled from her face. Like Onesimus, she left town. She said, hey, you don't speak to me that way, I'm out of here. She had no right to do that because she was their bondservant. She had to do what she was told. Now, the spiritual application here is twofold. First, that all those who are unconverted choose to separate themselves from those who are. Amen? She was not yet saved. Abraham and Sarah knew the Lord intimately. They talked face to face with him. And she separates herself from God's people. This is what the world does. They don't want to be around you. You're too, you got too much Jesus in you. You know, you're too spiritual. You're too biblical for these people. They don't want anything to do with you. They separate themselves from you. But secondly, that some who are converted choose to disassociate themselves from the place of blessing. People who are saved, who are born again and on their way to heaven, choose to isolate themselves from God's people. I had one woman in Colorado tell me, "Pastor, this is my last Sunday here. I'm leaving church." I said, "Well, you can do that. We sure will miss you and pray for you." She said, I said, "What are you going to do for fellowship?" She says, "I'm going to watch the Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller, on Sunday mornings." I says, "Well, you won't get fed too well. I don't think he preaches the word." And she says, "Oh, I made up my mind." I says, "Well, we sure will pray for you, sister. We love you and we don't want you to leave." She left the church. Didn't like something I said from the pulpit, I don't know. Got offended, boom. This is what people do. The devil whispers in their ear, "Don't listen to him. Leave that church. They don't love you over there." He's a liar. And she's separated from God's people. But secondly, in her remarkable experience, notice that she was found by the angel of the Lord. Look at verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord," time out, church. Who is the angel of the Lord? That's right. It's Jesus Christ. This is what we call a theophany. Or some theologians call it a Christophany. Same thing. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead. It's Jesus. Look at it. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." Now notice here that Jesus Christ appears to her, reveals himself to her. In her most desperate time of need, the Lord shows up. Amen. She's all alone. She has nobody to feed her. She has nobody to take care of her. She's separated herself from God's people, and the Lord shows up. "Hello, what you doing out here, Hagar?" I love how the Lord will come after you. Amen. When you separate yourself from his people, he'll come after you and knock on your heart's door and say, "What are you doing here? Why aren't you worshiping me with my people? What's wrong?" The Lord is appearing all the time. I love that. All through the Bible, in her most desperate time of need, Jesus shows up. I'm so glad, church, I can tell you that in your most desperate hour, Jesus will be there for you. He'll be right there holding your hand, carrying you through. But thirdly, in her remarkable experience, notice that the Lord came to bless her, not to condemn her. Look with me at verse number 8. Look at this, in verse 8. "And he said," this is the Lord talking, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou?" Time out, church. God's got a sense of humor. "Oh, gee, well, where'd you come from? I have no idea." He knows everything. Look what he said. "Whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go?" You know what the Lord is doing? Notice how pointed these questions are. Whither wilt thou go? He's saying, what you going to do out here in the wilderness? You're going to die. Think it through. No one hired a preacher one time preached a message. Think it through. What a great message. And look at it. "And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, thou wicked servant." No, he didn't. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't chastise her. He didn't yell at her. Right? Look what he says. "The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, for that it shall not be numbered for multitude." You know, they say there are over 2 billion Muslims in the world today. You know who that is? Hagar's seed. That's Hagar's seed. God kept that promise. God kept that promise. But look at, he says, I'm going to bless you. I want folks, God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to condemn you. It doesn't matter who you are out there in the world. He wants to bless you. Now, he can't unless you're saved and you come to him on his terms. But he wants to bless all people, though they won't let him. He came to bless. bless her, not to condemn her. A recent article in Time magazine states that there are some 5,000 men and women now who are on an endless sea voyage to nowhere. When the ship they are on, usually a freighter, arrives in a port, they are all locked up in a cabin on board with an armed guard posted at the door. These people are all stateless people who have stowed away on ships, been caught, without any documentation. Some of them have been traveling the high seas for 12 to 14 years and fully expect to die at sea because no country wants them. They're stowaways that were captured and they locked them up in a ship. I'll tell you someone who cares about those people. The Lord cares. Just like he cared about Hagar in the wilderness. The Lord cares about those people. You know, they've thrown the key away on those people. They're just stowaways. They're just cheaters. They didn't pay their fare. So let's forget about them. Let's lock them up and forget about them. God cares. God cares, no matter who you are. What a remarkable experience she had. But secondly, notice her devout acknowledgement. Her devout acknowledgement. Look with me in verse number 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. She's going to be a mom. And thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thine affliction, and he will be a wild man. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He shall be a wild man. Ahmadinejad. He shall be a wild man. Hamas. He shall be a wild man. Assad. He shall be a wild man. PLO. He shall be a wild man. Muslim Brotherhood. He shall be a wild man. All of the 12 Arab nations that surround Israel and seek her destruction. Wild man. You know what that Hebrew word means? Untamable. That's like a wild beast in the forest. You can't tame that thing. You go near it, it'll kill you. It'll take your head off. Sound familiar? Verse 12. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. It's all the Muslims. And she called all the Arabs. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Now, beloved, notice here that when Hagar had this remarkable experience, she acknowledged the living God. Notice her devout acknowledgement of the living God. A few things bear close attention here. First, notice that she spake to him that spake to her. Verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. Thou God seest me. Notice this. After this fashion do we all begin our communion with God. He speaks to us through his word, and we speak to him through prayer. Amen? It's a two-way communication. It's not one way. It's two-way. God spoke to her, and she spoke to him. She's meeting the living God. Secondly, notice that she acknowledged him to be the true and living God. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou... Who? God. Capital G. She says, you're God. Angel of the Lord, you're the Son of God. You are the true and living God of Abram and Sarai. Now, folks, God here in verse 13 is Elohim. Elohim, that's Almighty, Creator. Now, she's saying, Lord, you are the true and living God, and now I know you personally. Thirdly, notice that she acknowledged his love and care for her personally. Look at verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. She said, Lord, I know that your eyes are on me. I know that you care about me. I know that you're concerned with what I'm going through. She said, you see me and you care about me and you love me. Fourthly, notice that she obeyed his instructions. Look at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Verse 13, look at drop down to verse 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Hagar went back. Hagar obeyed the instructions that the angel of the Lord gave her. Let me ask you a question. Do you obey his instructions? I mean, do you follow the voice of his orders? Do you do what he asked you to do? I hope so, because Hagar did. In her devout acknowledgement of the living God, she obeyed his instructions. I love that. How the text speaks so purely here and shows that she obeyed. Listen now. Hagar went back to Sarah. She humbled herself. She apologized. How do I know that? Because Sarah took her back. She went and she humbled herself. Forgive me, my mistress, my Lord, forgive me and take me back. And she did. What a beautiful picture. In all this, she is acknowledging who God is and what she needed to do. Amen? Benjamin Franklin, who most of his life was an unbeliever, he got saved before he died. Benjamin Franklin once said, and I quote, "I have never doubted the existence of the deity, that he made the world and governs it by his providence and power, that the most acceptable service of God is doing good to man, that our souls are immortal, and that all crime will one day be punished and all virtue rewarded, either here or hereafter." See, just like Hagar, Benjamin Franklin acknowledged God for who he is. Amen? She's coming to the Lord, and she's doing it truly. What a devout acknowledgement we see here. But thirdly, notice her manifest amazement. Look at verse 13. I see a manifest amazement. "And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Beloved, notice the wording in verse 13. She says, "Have I actually looked upon God who sees my every move and live to tell it?" She stands amazed over this divine encounter. She knows that this angel of the Lord is God Almighty. She understands it. Three things about this manifest amazement. First, she's amazed that she had been so long a time without ever thinking of him who had thought so much of her. She's saying, "Have I been so long a time with faithful Abraham and Sarai and heard so much about you, Lord, who have been looking at me all this time with love and never glanced a thought to you?" She couldn't believe that she had gone her whole life without acknowledging this wonderful God who now she knows. She says, "I hate myself for not coming to him sooner." Secondly, she's amazed to think that at long last, she now looks unto him whom she ignored her whole life long. She's now converted. She now stands in awe of this majestic God. She's amazed. Thirdly, she's amazed that she is alive. She's saying, "Have I seen my Maker and I'm alive to tell others about it? What a miracle. I'm not dead. And I've seen God. I can tell everybody I come in contact with." John Newton was so amazed at the grace of God that he penned these words, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And listen, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Hagar had a manifest amazement at this great God that she had met. But fourthly, admire her humble worship. Look with me in verse 13 and admire her humble worship. Verse 13, "She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Quickly, first she worshiped God heartily and intelligently. Amen? She's acknowledging God's omniscience. She says, "I know that God sees my every move." Amen? When we worship God, we must realize that he's hearing and seeing our worship. When we're riding down 93 in our car at 65, hopefully not going over the limit, we must see that he is watching and seeing our every move. He's omniscient. Secondly, she worshiped beyond her knowledge. Listen, Hagar didn't know a whole lot about God yet. She's newly converted, but she worshiped him just the same. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have doctorate, theology, and all this before your name to worship the living God. Amen? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. Praise. You can praise him. You can sing to him. You can worship him. No matter how much. My wife is so humble. My wife is so humble. She says to me, she said to me a number of occasions, she says to me, honey, I don't know the Bible that well. I don't have that knowledge of the scriptures, but I sure do love the Lord. I sure do love the Lord. Isn't that special? Don't you know the Lord doesn't care how much Bible she knows. He cares how much she loves him. Amen? That'll preach. Thirdly, she worshiped God very personally. Listen, she was in the middle of nowhere, just her and God. She worshiped God personally. Do you worship him personally? It's easy to worship God here at church. I say, get out your hymnals and turn the stage door and let's praise the Lord. And oh, we sing and praise the Lord. But what about on your own? What about in the wilderness of your seclusion? Do you worship him? Here's what I tell people all the time. They say, Pastor, I'm down. I'm depressed. I got this problem. I say, get alone with God. Pop in your favorite worship CD and lift your hands and worship him. Take the phone off the hook, lock the door, and worship him. Get alone with God. She's all alone in the wilderness, but she's worshiping the Lord. Amen? Fourthly, she worshiped God by practical obedience to his will. Listen, this is because part of worship, listen, part of worship is receiving God's advice and doing what he says. It'd be one thing to worship him and then turn your back and say, I'm not going to serve God. I'll do my own thing. I'm heading to the barroom, you know. No. She not only worshiped him, but he told her what to do, and she did it. She went back to Haggai, Sarai, immediately because God told her to do it. Oh, I love that. When you worship God, he will tell you what to do. He'll tell you, twins, where to go to give those gospel tracts. I love the twins because, you know, they're always excited about their plans for the day to go evangelizing, going soul winning, you know, where they're going to go. They got kicked off of Harvard University a couple weeks back. They're giving out the word of God, and they get the police kick them off of the university that embraces witchcraft. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, man. A ticket for preaching Jesus, you know. Glory to God. That's a good one. She worshiped, her humble worship. An elderly Christian lady was being conducted through one of the great cathedrals of Europe on vacation. The guide spoke of its beauty of design, calling special attention to its carved statues and wonderful paintings. The old lady, Christian lady, was unimpressed. At the conclusion of the tour, she asked the guide, in front of the whole crowd, how many souls have been saved here this year? My dear lady, said the embarrassed guide, this is a cathedral, not a chapel. Yeah, and you can have all the stained glass windows and golden altars and all of this pomp and not have God. I like that. The old lady said, how many souls been saved here this year? I love it, man. There's one true believer in the bunch. Amen? None, the answer was, sadly. Admire her humble worship. Admire her humble worship. Beloved, we've seen her remarkable experience. We've seen her devout acknowledgement. We've seen her manifest amazement. We've seen her humble worship. But finally, notice her suggestive memorial. Go back with me to verse 13. Her suggestive memorial. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she has said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Now, Beer Lahairoi means in Hebrew, the well of him that liveth and seeth me. The well of him that liveth and seeth me. Every one of us need a Beer Lahairoi. Amen? Every one of us need a suggestive memorial in our lives. It's the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Glory to God. Listen carefully. Beloved, here is Hagar's suggestive memorial. A well full of cool, refreshing water, where the weary traveler could stop and be spiritually renewed and refreshed, because over this special well, there was, for every passerby to see, was this engraving, Beer Lahairoi, the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Every traveler
would go by this well and read Hagar's plaque, the well of him that liveth and seeth me.
I wonder how many souls were saved as a result of her suggestive memorial. Yes, indeed. Hagar wanted the whole world to know the God of Baal Lahairoi. So she left her suggestive memorial at the well for all to see. But there's another well today that is full of living water, that is of him that liveth and seeth us, and it is the well of salvation. And the waters are alive because they are powered by the Holy Spirit of God. His name is Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. Amen. It's the same God that Hagar met in the wilderness. I'm so glad. The great Reverend Dr. Alexander McLaren wrote of a boy he knew in his youth whose mother placed a plaque with these words, and I quote, "Thou God seest me," at the foot of his bed. Every morning when the boy awoke, he would see that plaque. "Thou God seest me." When he grew up, he became the president of a large bank. Then came the temptation. He had access to great sums of money. The day came. All the clerks had gone home. He opened the main safe and began to fill a large suitcase with $50s and $100 bills. When suddenly his mother's verse flashed across his eyes, "Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me." And immediately he repented of his sin, put all the money back, and called his mom and said, "I love you, Mom." True story. "I love you, Mom." Why? Because his mama's plaque worked. Right at his moment of temptation, he said, "I can't do this. Thou God seest me." Oh, praise the Lord. Beloved, he fell to his knees in tears of repentance and called his mom. Yes, indeed. Hagar at the fountain. She became a mother, and she knew the Lord, though her offspring became a terrible horde. And to this day, they attempt the destruction of the nation of Israel. But the Lord's got it all under control. Amen? I want to encourage you today to honor your mother and your father. No matter where they are, whether they're alive or not, honor their name, honor their memory, honor their legacy. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Hagar at the fountain. Lord, how we thank you that she not only got to the fountain, but she drank of the living water in it. She met you, Lord, and she became a true believer. And when she became a true believer, she was right back with Abraham and Sarah, right back with the true believers. She wanted to be with God's people from that day forward, and she was. Lord, we thank you for this woman of the Bible, Hagar, that, Lord, we need to remember from the text of Scripture that she met the living God. We'll meet her in heaven, though any of her offspring, I just don't know. Father, we thank you today for this Mother's Day. We thank you for all of the moms. And we pray that, Lord, you would encourage us to be like Hagar. Lord, that each one of us would have a suggestive memorial from the time that we met the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say like her, "Thou God seest me." Or we can say, "The well of him that liveth and seest me." And Lord, we can let others know that he is the true God. He is the living God. And he is the one who sees every move we make. He's keeping track. And Lord, I thank you finally for her obedience. Lord, you gave her a clear, simple instruction. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself to her hand. And Lord, the Bible says she did so. She did so because she wanted to obey you, and that included obeying Sarah. But we thank you for the text today, and we ask you to bless us this Mother's Day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand. And let's open up to hymn number 5. Hymn number 5. We haven't sung in a while. We're due. I'm so glad Hagar could have sung this one. Fanny Crosby song says, "He hideth my soul." Amen? "He hideth my soul." We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Love these words. Precious.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shackles are bright as daylight. Me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Thank you, Lord.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds on the sky. His perfect
of a church. Ah, what a blessing. Great service, great singing today. I love the third stanza. With numberless blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer is mine. What a Savior we serve, church. We are so blessed today. We are so blessed. I love every one of you. So we're growing, little by little, we're growing. Brother Steve, so good to have you back, brother. We all love you, and we're just so thankful that you're with us. You want to dismiss us in prayer this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord God, it's written, put thy works unto the Lord, and I thought to be established. We do this concerning the service today, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Ride home. Our day is to worship by you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Father, guide and protect us with your love. leading guide others to us, Lord, so we can tell them about Jesus.
Mm.
Use us as an example of your Son, Lord. And touch those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.